And it is time to check in on Orange County government. We're joined on the phone by the chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners, Penny Rich. OrangeCountyNC.gov is the county's website for more on county government, including the Board of Commissioners, which had a meeting, a public hearing last night on the RTLP project south of Hillsboro. Commissioner Rich, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
All right, Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing okay. So the meeting last night ran long, so I know you're still dragging from that. But what was the conversation like? How did it go?
Sure. Yeah. So we did. We had the applicant present the RTLP project to the county commissioners last night, as well as the planning staff helped us out with a few things. And then we went right into the public hearing, and because we had 90 people signed up, 90 people signed up, we decided to break the public hearing down into two separate meeting dates. So last night we heard from 45 people, or roughly 45 people, and it was about 12:30, quarter to one before, maybe like 12:30 before the last person spoke. So it's a long time for people to be hanging on Zoom meetings. So we did lose a couple of people along the way, but we are going to resume the meeting on Tuesday, the 22nd, which was not a scheduled meeting. So now we're going to resume it. Listen to those other 45 to 50 folks, and then we'll start. We'll start having the conversation about what's the next steps.
So this is a project that's got some organized opposition to it. They've already held a demonstration, a couple of them, I know, in Hillsboro. So I'll assume that most of the comments were against the proposal or against the specific details of it. But what were some of the specifics that you heard?
Yeah, that's right. And you know, I don't want to go into too much giving you in my opinion. I could tell you what I heard last night. Which I think is safe because we haven't heard from everyone. And something that I've always done as a county commissioner and also as a town council member is when you're having public hearings, you do really have to give everyone the opportunity to speak before you start weighing in. You're correct. We heard mostly, 98% of the folks that spoke last night were probably not for the project. Real concerns about traffic, and I think that was sort of the biggest concern. There's also some thought that, that economic development district was never going to get developed. Folks just went on with their lives and built homes and created their community. The economic development district has been in place for quite some time, early 80s. I mean, we're going way, way back. So, there is the conflict, and there's, I said last week, there's a lot of emotion attached to some of their, concerns. Totally understandable, and, we'll just have to continue listening to the folks, and then starting, what would happen is we would close the public hearing, and then we would, the county commissioners, when I say we, would then begin to start looking at conditions and the applicant's proposal, and see how that matches up with the Unified Development Ordinance. And that's really a goal of a commissioner, is to take the information that we get and see if it aligns with what we originally planned for to be in that spot.
And I know you're still only halfway through the public hearing, so this will be tentative anyway. But from what you've heard so far, are these concerns that could potentially be addressed within the context of the existing proposal, just maybe tweaking some things, or are these more kind of fundamental beyond that?
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I would hope that the applicant was really listening to some of the folks. I know they've heard them already at the planning board meeting, because I went to both planning board meetings, and it's the same folks are coming to speak, and the very similar comments. So I hope that the applicant is listening and really paying attention to, what you're saying is like just kind of hitting you in the face. Whether or not they're willing to make changes to meet what the neighbors are concerned with, we don't know. We don't know until we start having those conversations. So on the 22nd, we'll hear the remainder of the people that were on the list. Again, this is really important, Aaron. You cannot now sign up for the public hearing. All the sign up had to take place by 3 p.m. Yesterday. If you are not on that list as of 3 p.m. yesterday, you cannot add your name to that list. Nor can you speak again. If you spoke once, you can't speak again. So we will not be adding any more people to that list. It's just what we have, and we're going to go by that list. That is the rules of the public hearing. There'll be 24 hours after the public hearing to write any kind of written comment that you want to send to the county commissioners. And we're going to give a little leeway on that because we are virtually, and you know, we're meeting virtual, and you don't know what time exactly the meeting's going to end. So we're going to extend that a little bit, probably till 9 a.m. on the Thursday after, which would be the 24th. And, you know, we're still planning on voting on it on the 6th.
And again, you can get more information on all of that. That's the RTLP Research Triangle Logistics Park is the full name of the proposal. It's more information on orangecountync.gov. And listen back to last night's meeting. We'll look ahead to next week's public hearing as well. Anything else from that meeting, or was it all the public hearing from start to finish?
Yeah, it was pretty much 4 hours of public hearing. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about, like, you know, we were done by, like, I want to say 12:30, quarter to one. And I remembered back when I was on the Chapel Hill Town Council, one meeting night when Mark Kleinschmidt was still mayor. I think we went until like 1:30 in the morning, and I don't remember what we were talking about. Unfortunately, Mark Kleinschmidt and I signed up to do the point in time head count with the IFC the next morning.
Oh yeah.
And do you remember? And so when you report in, you have to report in at 4 o'clock in the morning to go out and do the head count, right? Because you want to get people in their habitat where they're sleeping outside and all. And so we didn't get done until like 1:30. By 2 o'clock, him and I looked at each other, and he's like, "Well, do you want to go get a cup of coffee somewhere?" And I'm like, "Yeah. I mean, you know, why go to sleep in 2 hours?" So we did. We stayed up. We stayed up the whole night. I think we eventually got in about 10 in the morning to get some rest. But you know, we didn't do much. I mean, it's fair to say that we allowed for most of this meeting to be the public hearing. We did have another public hearing about applying for some housing money. There's about $900,000 available in a pot. So we're going to try and get some of that money for our eviction program, our diversion program. And then there was the legislative goals that we passed on to the NCACC. And that conversation could have gotten a little bit more time, but yeah, most of those goals have been on there for year after year. So we didn't have to talk too much about that. The resolution decriminalizing marijuana passed 6-1. I was very happy about that. And let's see, yes, we did vote to name our boardroom after Donna Baker up at the Witted Building. So that will be happening hopefully in person when we can get everyone up there, past commissioners as well, to honor Donna.
That resolution on marijuana, what will be the kind of tangible effect of that?
You know, basically right now we're going to pass that on to the General Assembly, North Carolina General Assembly. We know that there has been a bill that's been written by senators. One of our senators, Valerie Fouché, Senator Fouché, is a sponsor of that bill. That's very similar to what we wrote about decriminalizing marijuana. It has not seen the light of day, but we know that there is a bill there. And so, you know, my hope is that after election, we hopefully turn the General Assembly blue, that we'll get some, we could shed some light on this. I mean, this is a racial justice issue. It just ruins young, mostly African American and people of color's lives. And it's got to change. We got to stop doing that. That's part of that systematic racism that we're consistently talking about. This is a good step forward.
Speaking with County Commissioner Penny Rich, orangecountync.gov, the website for more information on county government. You just mentioned the election that's coming up. I know we're starting to get absentee ballots back, and elections officials are starting to get the word out about what you can do and what they are doing to keep folks safe at the polls during early voting and then on election day proper. What update is there that exists on absentee ballots that are coming in, and what should folks know about just voting in general?
Yeah, so we're getting all positive feedback right now. If you did get your absentee, also called a mail-in ballot, you can actually fill that out. And if you don't want to mail it in, although I think it's perfectly fine to mail it in, you could take it up to the Board of Election. They have a table set up outside. Although listening to your weather report for Thursday and Friday, I doubt that they're going to be outside. So you might want to wait until that Hurricane Sally passes over. We asked Sally Green if she could steer this hurricane out of our direction, but she did say she had absolutely no power over that, which was kind of disappointing to us.
It's a different Sally, unfortunately.
Different. But yeah, we're hearing really, some good things about the table set up outside. You know, you fill out a form, you're at your absentee ballot, and then you could go to the website that our Attorney General Josh Stein has all made sure that we all know about. And I think it's, I don't want to say it bad, but I think you've been saying it, that NC ballot one.
Ballot Tracks?
Give the address.
Is that the one?
Yeah. And we're hearing really good things about that. So people are getting like a text or a call saying your absentee ballot has been accepted. So that's cool, right? I mean, that's different and a good way to use technology. There are some good things that come out of COVID, not everything, but some good technological advances. If you don't want to do that, of course, you can, hold on. If you want to go vote in person, you know, just rip up your ballot, you just throw it in the trash and go vote in person. But you can't do both. I mean, we talked about this last week, and I can't believe we actually have to talk about this. But you have to do one or the other. You can't vote by mail and then go and try and vote again. It's just not going to happen. They won't let you do it. So don't do it. And then, of course, there's always Election Day on the 3rd to go and vote. But we're hoping that people get it done earlier. There's so many options now that, there's no excuse to wait.
Speaking with County Commissioner Penny Rich, other things going on in Orange County that folks ought to know about?
Yeah, just briefly, we could talk a little bit about COVID. Our numbers are back down after a big spike when the students came back to UNC. So Orange County is hovering about 3.6% positive rate, which is really pretty good. We wanted to get back below 5. Our lowest so far has been about 2.1. So we're going to hold on to that 3.6. If we can stay steady for 2 weeks under 5%, then we'll start thinking about increasing our gathering sizes. The health department's a little weary because they want to see what kind of numbers come in after Labor Day, when there might have been parties or people gathering. Also, we had our first football game and Go Heels, nice game, but there were some parties. We know that there were, and we just want to be mindful of what that means when people start partying and gathering again. Is the spread there? Is it a community spread? Is it just still among the students? We know that 40% of the cases are still between 18 and 24-year-olds, so we have a good idea what's going on. Also, we need to be mindful, Aaron. The flu season is coming, and we know that, we're doing all right because we're wearing masks, so less people are at the end in May were you're coming in with flu symptoms because we had these masks on. So we're hoping that that continues and we don't have a bad flu season. But just to remind people, in November, right after Thanksgiving and right after Christmas is a pretty, we'll peak in the flu season, and then we'll really get to the flu peak right around February. So we don't want to have someone have the flu on top of COVID, which could happen. You could get the flu, you could feel better, and then you could get COVID if you go out again. So the health department is starting to create ways to do the swab for flu and COVID at the same time at our testing sites. I think that's pretty exciting, so you don't have to go to two different places. We are still in the peak of hurricane season, so you and I joked around about Sally, but we got 4 more storms out there, so we want everybody to beware. Yeah.
And again, orangecountync.gov for more information on county government. Round 2 of that public hearing on RTLP will be next Tuesday, the 22nd. So tune in for that. You can get that on the Orange County Government website as well. County Commissioner Penny Rich, as always, thank you so much.
Awesome, Aaron. Talk to you next week.